Welcome to Buckle Up for Movies, everybody, for the week of September 16th. I'm Ryan Miller, and it's the modern-day Mike TV. Matt Amberg.
Is that what you watched?
No. That is the only character from any type of media I could think of with TV in his name. And I'm not even sure that's his name from Willy Wonka? Wasn't it Mike TV?
Willy Wonka, yeah. I think it's Mike TV.
Yeah, let's start this show by looking things up.
Yeah, no. I couldn't remember if his name was Mike or not. Whatever.
On Book Club for Movies, where we usually watch one movie a week, invite you to do the same so we can have a big family discussion about it. Everybody loves it when it's time for family discussions. This week, it's not. So you'll love it even more. We're going to do our famous game of TV Volleyball 3?
Electric Boogaloo?
Sure.
Okay.
Wherein we've watched a bunch of TV shows, as we do, as everybody does, and volley them back and forth to each other. We haven't figured out the rules, but usually there's a winner.
Somehow we find out.
I mean, there's always a winner. Let's put it that way. It's usually you, the viewer.
That's correct. It is always the viewer. Mm-hmm.
The podcast viewer. This week, I have 8 shows, Matt.
8 shows.
Can you compete? I might turn them into it, but some of those will come in a block, so singular volley.
I cannot compete.
Okay.
I have a whole 4 right now. So.
Maybe I'll begin then. Some of these are updates. Tell you what, I'll give you the update block. These are shows that I've mentioned in the past in these here TV volleyballs and finally did something with. The first one, Arrested Development Season 4.
Hey, that's a good one.
Finally finished it. Is it a good one, Matt? Did
always,
you feel like that was a knee jerk? You went right there.
Always is. Look, more Arrested Development is better than none, but that season was a little rough.
You know what? That's where I'm at. Yes, more Arrested Development is better than none. Season 4 was the first season that came out after Netflix bought them out. And famously, and Mitch Hurwitz has written plenty of stuff on this, was something of an experiment wherein he didn't have everybody in the studio, I guess, at the same time. So much of it was filmed out of order. And much like that show has running jokes that don't complete or get called back until the very end, this kind of attempted to do that with an entire season. And
yeah,
for the most part, when I say that, I mean most people will say that it didn't quite work.
It was extremely disjointed in comparison.
It was. And that's an ensemble show. So not only did they need to kind of have patience with the premise, they needed to rework their expectations entirely, which I tried to do. Honestly, I started season 4 pretty close to when it came out and fell off halfway through and never picked it back up until I heard that they were doing a new edit. And they've since called it like the old edit's not even on there anymore. They've reworked the entire season. They've called it like Redux or Remix or something like that and given it the subtitle Fateful Consequences. And one of the reasons they've done that is kind of they have reworked a lot of it. But they've also done that because it's impossible to rework the entire thing. Like they definitely could not turn it into what Arrested Development was before.
Sure.
So I think part of their solution was to add that Fateful Consequences and say, okay, this is all building to something and the recaps are a little bit more involved and they point at kind of the final joke. So it's definitely more instructive and I think it definitely works better than what I saw of the first season 4 anyways, but still rough. So your mileage may vary. It does get better as it goes. So if you're turned off by the first few episodes there, I say keep going. It's not indicative. It does get better. I don't know if that's just getting used to it, but I feel like some of the payoffs do come sooner. So you're kind of able to stay in the moment a little bit more. Some of the characters that you love are in top form. I would say David Cross and Jessica Walters can do no wrong. Jessica Walters doesn't get the material that David Cross does, and I don't know if that's because Cross is punching it up himself. I wouldn't be surprised. But Tobias is just a treasure of a screen presence and is no less here, you know, even if kind of some of the surrounding is a little bit of a downer. And not just in that way. Like, when I say downer, it's darker, man. Like, it starts out with a murder, pretty much. So some of the premise is solving that murder or who did it or what happened. And some of it's overtly political too. Terry Crews plays a right-wing guy that's building a wall that Portia de Rossi's character gets kind of mixed up with in several different ways. First, she's a prostitute, and then she's... It crosses a lot of lines that the first three seasons of network TV, of being a network TV show...
I was going to say, yeah.
...would not cross. Right. So I don't necessarily know if that's for the better here. Sometimes when the chains are off, you don't necessarily get better material. And there's that whole... like I forget who made the original argument, but sometimes censorship has a way of... producing stronger content.
Oh, know, sure,
in
sure.
Spite of,
yeah, no, it's the entire concept of you know, everybody says that freedom is really the most creative thing, and I think there's a huge argument to be made that creativity might actually be more creative when you're forced into a box and you have to actually work within that box by getting out of it,
fettered a little bit. And that's not saying everything should be that way.
Right?
Obviously.
No, of course,
creativity
not.
Is a beast, but.
Different for everybody.
The show has good parts. In fact, towards the end, I will say it almost felt like home. They get into a rhythm, or maybe it's when all those jokes do come together, and it was when they did get everybody in the same room, or at least in closer quarters, that you did kind of begin to feel like the old Arrested Development was back a little bit. And then it ends with just the weirdest ending to any season I've ever seen ever. So,
all right.
There's stuff to look forward to, and for any fan, I'd say watch it, absolutely, of course. For anybody that's not, watch the first three seasons first, any one of them, in fact. So that's that. Finish that. That was a longer update than I wanted. The other update, I finished the second and final season of Agent Carter.
Ah, man, how disappointing are you? How disappointed are you that there isn't
that's fine. We can go either way with that.
That there isn't more.
I'm disappointing because I didn't watch this to begin with. Maybe I could have been part of the army that tried to keep it on the air, or, you know, get one more tick on the Nielsen meter, or however they were doing it back then, you know, in the heady days of whatever this 2016 or something. I don't know. The final season is brilliant in that they take it to LA. Like, that's super cool. Both for, I think, me and you and our dispositions, you know, and our...
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, who doesn't love L.A. in the freaking 50s type thing?
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
That's all great. And it looks great. Like, none of the production value has slipped a bit. I am way less interested in the story. You know, and this is the part where I'm like, okay, maybe this wasn't the season to bump the numbers up type thing, you know? it's a weaker season. But Hayley Atwell still kicks butt. She's an action star through and through. I kind of soured on Jarvis a little bit. He's always been a little whiny, a little weaselly.
Sure.
It almost gets to be too much in some of the arcs they choose to have him play in this season. The villain's kind of all over the map. Towards the end of the season, I don't know if this is a function of they knew they were canceled. It really falls apart. Like, I don't know what the villain's doing, why she's doing it. It's seems like a little bit of a rush job.
I think they knew they were canceled, and that's what... They were allowed to finish the season out.
It's too bad. I mean, there is an ending, so that's good. But, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. But, yeah, it was definitely the weaker of the two seasons.
I liked it, but I just liked it.
And you know? I agree that I think Hayley Atwell is absolutely a fantastic action star, and so much so that she's going to be in the next two Mission Impossible flicks. So.
Oh, did they tap her for... Oh, that's perfect, man. That is wonderful. That's good news right there.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping that she's going to beat the crap out of Tom Cruise for once and not be his love interest.
That would be amazing. Oh, I'm into that, man.
But it's cool, whatever.
I did have one actual update, too. Remember way back in the first TV Volleyball, I said I was finally at the cusp of Elseworlds?
Yes.
Good the Lord. Arrow Supergirl Flash crossover?
Yeah.
Boy, much like... pretty much all of those series, Supergirl to a lesser degree.
That's the Nazi one, right?
No.
Okay.
That was the last, they're beginning to do this every year. Or in the words of Supergirl at the end of Elseworlds, boy, this is becoming an annual thing, isn't it?
Which, that's a, you know.
Line from the show.
Yeah, no, you gotta wink at the audience.
You're thinking of the last one. No, this one was not the crisis we wanted, we would have wanted maybe, but the crisis we deserved. I think. One of those type things.
Sounds like you're just saying this was a total failure of the Arrow writers.
I mean, the Arrow episode was. So this is how it goes.
The, tends to be the problem in these situations. It's the Arrow writers. Well,
this, funnily enough, this actually coincides with me having finally started the first Crisis on Infinite Earths. We had this discussion. You were like, stop reading those stupid ones and read the actual one. And so I did. And you didn't say that, but I took that to heart. And it begins with the Monitor coming down with a book that he gives to a scientist who rewrites history. And while the story is wildly different from at least what I've read so far of Crisis on Infinite Earths, we're talking about the trade from, it's a trade to me, but
the series,
what you call that? The in crossover event of 1983.
Yeah. It's been around
85 at the latest.
Yeah. Something like that.
Where they reset the DC timeline by deleting all these multiple Earths. So there are lots of callbacks to that. You get the Flash coming in and fading out, and that's the John Wesley Shipp's Flash. And when he appears on screen, it plays his theme from the 90s show real quick. So they get all that still. They're good at that. That's the reason I love, quickly becoming the only reason I love these shows still. So there's some of that, but largely the first two episodes, which are the Flash episode, I believe, and the Arrow episode, are complete wastes of time. Like, they are complete, like, roundabouts to what's set up in the first 5 minutes and then finished up in the last episode, which is the Supergirl episode. But it's what you get from those things. Like,
sure,
we've talked about this a million times, and it's kind of fun enough to watch, but the moment you start thinking about it, you're just going to get angry type thing. Especially if you're, you know, if Crisis on Infinite Earths is sacrosanct in any way, shape, or form to you.
Yeah, no. And then make sure to read Final Crisis also.
There's even a weirdo spot where, so the guy's rewriting all these realities, and in one of them, he's made himself Superman, which you get your actor back from.
Tyler Hoechlin.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm kind of coming around on him. I feel like you were more positive on him than I was last time.
Yes, definitely.
I'm coming around on him a little bit, but the guy rewrites history, makes himself Superman, even though he looks like that Superman. And then the actual Superman comes back. So he's fighting himself in an office building. At some point, some girl gets real surprised and looks over at him and is like, and just yells Bizarro. Like, there's been no hint of that's who, like, they play so fast and loose with some of that stuff. Which
does
is,
does she call him Bizarro, or is she like, this is
no,
Bizarro?
No, maybe. She just screams it out. Like, why would you, and she doesn't scream it out in a way that's like, Bizarro, you know, which almost would have been more acceptable if still stupid. It's like she yells it at him like that's his name.
It'd be cool to see them actually do a good Bizarro.
It's one of my favorite stories. In fact, it might be my favorite Superman story, period.
Bizarro Superman's awesome. He's fun.
He's a tragic character. I love every story that... I don't know every story that's been done, but... It's just weird. It's... You probably still should watch it. Check it out. Because it's got... It's... Okay, I'm confused now, too. Maybe you'll know. You're up on these shows more than I am.
Nope.
It ends with a throw to someone who I believe is Psycho Pirate. Because he figures into the Crisis book that I'm reading right now fairly prominently. And he's got the gold mask, right?
Could be. I haven't seen that. I haven't watched it, so I don't know.
Well, so it cuts to him, somebody that's probably him, and then cuts to a title screen that just says Crisis on Infinite Earths. Like, that's the next TV show that they're doing.
Which I think is right. I think that's...
Is that? This. Okay.
Because I think... So... I heard and I read this, and I don't know if I read that this is not happening or if I read that this is happening, but John Wesley Shipp is coming back, but there's no definition on if he's coming back as Jay, if he's coming back as Papa.
Yeah, I think he was actual Barry in this
or
one, like
both. We don't know. But the bigger rumor, the one that actually, like, man, if they do this, I am very excited for, is that supposedly Brandon Routh is going to put the Superman suit back on. And he is, and they're going to use the Superman from Superman Returns. Like,
oh,
it's his
they
Superman.
Would. They freaking would. I mean, the only
I'm into
reason
it.
That's weirder than normal for these shows is that he's already
Palmer.
Adam.
He's Ray. Yeah.
Something, whatever. Yeah. Okay. In Legends of Tomorrow. Is that it?
Roy Palmer. Yeah.
I don't know. I saw him in that Nazi crossover one from 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I actually love, like, Legends is still out of all of them the best show, with Supergirl being
really
being a very, very close second. Yeah, it's like,
I don't know.
Legends is that show that I turn on that is it's
has it just reached peak that thing to the point where it matters none at all type thing?
Kind of. Like, it's just that they've gone to the point where they're like, you know what? We don't have to do, like, we don't have any
anything
real
that
thing that we have to do here. We can go as crazy as we want to because they're time traveling. They're going into weird places. So this is, like, easy.
Okay.
And I like the fact that you can turn that show on 1 week and they're in the 1950s and they're dealing with racism and homophobia. And then the following week, they're in the 70s and they're disco dancers. And then the following week, they're in 2027 and now there's some, like, space golfers. Like, that's all really super fun.
Okay.
Because
all right.
You have all these characters that throughout the time have grown together, that some have gone, some have come, but they all kind of end up meshing in this weird ensemble way. And it's just like, it's ostensibly just watching a cartoon, you know? It's like, I don't need to think about this. I don't really care.
Well, it is mostly animated.
I can remember, like, why some of this stuff happens. Oh, what's her motivation? Why is she mad at Roy? Who cares? Ray.
Okay,
I
think we've
Ray
found
Palmer.
It, yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It's like,
I just can't do, I've reached my limit of shows like that with, I mean, we've talked about Falling Off Arrow. I feel like we talk about it every single time. But even Flash, Supergirl to a lesser extent, especially this season, they're doing some just crazy. I mean, it started out being overtly political in that way. I think I talked about it.
You mentioned that, yeah.
But they've just gone, so like, they've turned it into kind of a deep study of this guy who's been radicalized, this far right, which I don't know. I'm almost, that's my least favorite part, because I don't really need to know why the far right guy is a radical douchebag, you know, like,
you already know. Far right, done.
But they take time with him and tell you that story. And if that is actually the character that they've given to Agent Liberty, that's kind of amazing too, because Agent Liberty was a hero, you know, you would say, for the most part. But that's like the complete opposite direction, maybe, from what you're talking about with Legends.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't know if I could take a Legends that's just going farther in the direction that I've grown so tired with Flash. And
well, and that's fair. I mean, like, you look at, like, Supergirl, for as much as it is a Supergirl TV show, is still fairly serious. Like, they use the function of the hero, but they try to do Supergirl more justice with, like, in terms of a comic book show. Like it's I would say, and you're going to argue this, I'm sure, but I would say Supergirl is the analogous DC show to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's as serious as they're probably going to get outside of Arrow, which is, like, super self-serious. So it's serious. It does take those things to heart, but it's also just got a lot of heart and is kind of fun.
I think you got it. I didn't mean to spend the first half, but that's all my updates. You should talk for longer than me now for a little bit.
I will not talk longer than you, but I will talk a little bit. So we've been watching The Boys. I'm almost done with it. Last episode, sitting there. I think that show is the best comic book show that's ever been on TV. Just straight up. Done.
Oh, we have a new one every show, it seems like.
No, this is like, I really like a lot of those. I like the comic book shows in general. I fully admit I'm not a huge Marvel fan, so the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff never landed for me. It still doesn't land for me. I still think that show is real mediocre. But
I don't know if I disagree, but
most of those shows work well for me. I like all the cartoons are great, of course. I like, I mean, especially, you know, Batman the Animated Series, X-Men, all that stuff. I still like The Flash. The last season, I haven't watched the...
You're pretty behind. You're at least two seasons behind.
Yeah,
right?
I'm two seasons behind. So I like all those things. But there is just nothing that even comes close to what The Boys is, what The Boys, like, can be in the future. And I just... if you like comic books, you have to watch this show. Like, it's just... That's that. It's... And I would recommend don't look anything up about the comic. Just watch the show knowing it's based on a comic book and that the comic is deeper, of course. It's going to go further with a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that might show up in the next season. And if it does, it's going to be controversial stuff, which I'm kind of hoping they go with. But man, this show, like, so the concept of the show ostensibly is the opening episodes, like one of the first things you see may have been one of the just most wonderful things I've ever seen in a horror, or not in a horror, in a comic book movie, show, anything.
I was going to say it involves gore, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. So you've got Huey as our main character. He is our into the show. He's a normal guy, works at like a Radio Shack. He's got his girlfriend. He's kind of got a normal life. He and his girlfriend are walking down the street and she turns and I think she's actually still standing partially on the sidewalk, or she's like half a step off the sidewalk, and a speedster runs through her. Never consider this in any of like the Flash things. Nope. What happens if he runs into a person going that fast? She gets vaporized, essentially. Like, there is all this blood lands on Huey. You see some teeth flying. You see chunks of stuff going everywhere. And then they show A-Train, who's the speedster, covered in blood. And he's like, I gotta go. And then he takes off. And
so he stopped after he did that?
Yeah. He doesn't say sorry. He says nothing. He just says, I gotta go. And he takes off. So the whole show is Huey gets kind of recruited by Carl Urban's character, Billy Butcher, who really wants his help just to get some information on the soups. They call them soups. And it's not like tomato or French onion. It's like the superheroes. You know what I mean? He brings Huey in to kind of spy on everybody and to try and get some more information on them. Because he knows what happened. So he plays up the guilt of, hey, come on, these guys killed your girlfriend. Do you really want to be their friends? Do you really want to let this go? They killed your girlfriend. He beats it into them. And you start meeting the other people that Billy Butcher has worked with. And there's this one character, this French guy. He is maybe my favorite character in the show because he is just like, he's really an interesting character. And so you meet all these different superheroes, and there is a group called the Seven, which are kind of the Avengers. And so you've got like, but they all have really dumb names. Like, you've got the Deep, who is Aquaman, sure, and Queen Maeve, who's Wonder Woman. A-Train is Flash. there's Translucent, who would, I mean, that's kind of more of a Invisible Woman type thing.
Sure.
Homelander, who is Superman basically. And I think there's one more and I'm just blank. Black Noir, who's basically Snake Eyes. He'd be like the Hawkeye equivalent, where he doesn't speak. He wears all like a black mask. He uses like swords and everything.
Sure.
Starfire. It's not Starfire. It's
Face.
Starface. That's it. So that she's
Fish.
What we kind of end up with is this character. I can't remember her name. She's the other, like, she is the main female lead at this point. She is a superhero who has been she was doing her hero thing in a very small town, and now she has been invited to be a member of the Seven. And the show, Homelander is really our kind of big antagonist. And he is, like I said, he's Superman. He's got the laser eyes, he can fly, he's very strong, all this stuff. There are very few characters in cinema and TV that actually make me like mad. Like, I am angry at that character. Oh. Like, I have a visceral reaction to how much I dislike that character. And I really, really want that character to get their comeuppance in the worst way.
Oh, the super fascist version of the superhero that you like the least in life really, really gets you. Huh?
It's so much more than that. It's, the guy, the way he's written is just so bad. Like, he is, I actually just don't want to even give anything away, because this whole show, it's like 8 episodes long. It does not deserve to be spoiled. Everything about that show deserves to be walked into not knowing, because it is going to make you like that's going to come together in a way that you did not expect.
You've been itching to talk about this for months. Like you, I feel like the day you started watching this, you were like, let's do TVVB next week. And I'm like, I have enough.
No, I know I told you the first thing I mentioned when I was like, dude, a speedster ran through somebody. We have to talk about this.
You did tell me that. And I was like, okay, yeah, I want to hear about the rest of that.
So many things just come out of nowhere. Like, not expecting that thing. And that's, there was a moment with Homelander where it was, I was not expecting that, and now I'm just viscerally angry at him. Like, you have hit the Tim Roth, Rob Roy levels. You have now hit the, I think it was Marsha Gay Harden in The Mist, Miss Carmody. I hate those characters. And
did he perform some animal violence or something? I feel like that's a shortcut to your bad side.
Killing dogs doesn't help, but no, this is totally one of those, like, it's an anti-superhero moment, and it's not only an anti-superhero moment, but it's an anti-Superman moment, like the polar opposite. We're not talking about like fascism here. We're talking about Superman would do the right thing, and it would be very obvious what the right thing is. And Homelander at no point is like, let's do the right thing. He doesn't do the right thing. He actually gets the Wonder Woman character, Queen Maeve, to, you can see, like, this is the first time where she's super reticent about anything. And she kind of goes along with it because it's Homelander. And the reactions to all the characters around them, and then how he turns that, he spins it. It's just like A+ crap. Like it's stuff that you see, like the spin that he puts on this tragedy that he ostensibly causes. Bananas. So good.
A+ crap. Hold on, I'm changing the tagline on the site right now. I'm just typing words into the Discord. All right. Well.
So highly recommend The Boys, streaming on Amazon. Go there. Watch it now. Okay. And Volleyed.
Strong Volley. That's a quick one.
Okay. I got a quick one right after this too.
Just a little bump back.
Okay.
Comedians and Cards Getting Coffee.
New season.
Oh, what season are we on now? That's a good,
like 6, 8.
We might be on, I feel like we're closer to the 5th.
Yeah. I think it's something like that.
It depends on how much you like stand-up comedy, kind of as a science. Also depends on how much you like Jerry Seinfeld.
And there's the downer for me.
Which I know you don't much. I like Seinfeld the show a great deal. I am one of the ones that thinks it's one of the best that's ever been. But it's also funny to me because it's a continuation of a character that's been around since the beginning of time almost. Like this, I don't even know if misanthrope is it. Jerry Seinfeld, the character on Seinfeld, and to a greater extent, all of the characters on Seinfeld are horrible people.
They're right? they're pessimists at the very yes. least.
And this is why I'm very much on board with the ending of that show where they are all jailed.
They're all in jail.
Yeah. Like, I know people are like, oh, it doesn't make any... It makes perfect sense. Like, they're all garbage people. Like, if you sat through whatever 9 seasons of that show not realizing that this is funny because these people are horrible... Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee is a little bit different because you're dealing with actual Jerry Seinfeld, but I believe the reason why that show works so well, I think this happens quite often with acting and portrayals or whatever, is because he was playing a little bit of himself, you know?
Oh yeah, no, it's that, okay, Seinfeld is very clearly two people, straight up two people. Seinfeld, of course, And Curb Your Enthusiasm, David, what's his name?
Oh, Larry David. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the reason they get along so well is because they are, you know, two peas in a pod. Like their sensibilities are very, I just mean to say that Jerry Seinfeld, the actual person, and I feel like he admits this on some shows anyways, he's very particular, opinionated and brusque.
Oh yeah.
You know, how much of this comes with money, who knows, but Nothing. He can be kind of a jerk and look to be kind of a jerk sometimes, right?
He has done, like, I'm sure that there are funny things out there that he's done that I would laugh at, but the funniest thing he did in the to my memory was something that was not funny, and it was really more of probably a cringe moment for a lot of people, but there was some award show and Kesha came up and tried to hug him while he was on camera.
Oh, I remember, yeah, I've seen that.
He just goes, "No, thank you. I don't know." And he didn't know who he didn't know who she was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he had no idea that she was, like, yeah, yeah. Which that's fine. You know?
No, it's one of those things where, like it's funny to me, but I also respect that he didn't play the Hollywood, like, "Oh, sure, I'll hug you," and then turn to the camera and go, "Who was that?"
That's the refreshing part of that aspect of him, where he looks like a jerk. He is
completely a jerk.
Truthful. Yeah, like, he's not gonna. Really bend. He bends sometimes for his comedy buddies that are on the show, obviously, but
I don't know that he's a jerk. Maybe it's more that he's just super blunt and just doesn't.
Yeah, no, that thing. It's, yeah, just, sure. He comes off as a jerk maybe sometimes, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know.
Right, because he's from the words. He's from a place where he can be a jerk.
The show Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, regardless of any of those things, although they do figure into it, is a delight if you are kind of a student of comedy, which I think is being generous if I'm referring to myself at all.
But clearly are not. Have you listened to this program?
I'm very interested in kind of those conversations that go on. I think it's super interesting in that way. So very watchable for that reason alone. If even it didn't have people like Gary Shandling, the Bob Eisenstein episodes, there's more than one, are some of the best TV that's ever been. The Kramer episode, which I've seen, this, well, that was one of the ones I saw kind of outside of us watching yeah. this now. Still, like, it took place very close to his comedy club thing, you know?
You mean the murder of his career?
Right.
The suicide basically. Of his career?
Yeah. And that conversation is really poignant between him and Seinfeld. So
that's okay. I'm going to say this about that episode.
All right.
While I think conceptually it was a great episode, that episode to me is just total garbage. Because they're good friends. You think Jerry's really going to go ahead and like this is one of those cases where he knows
but
him. I have a hard time. Jerry Seinfeld is not a journalist. And I just have a hard time thinking that Michael Richards is just full of crap. Like, the guy, I'm sorry, that guy has come up with every excuse and he's done it for years.
Well, he's obviously trying to talk his way out of it. Yeah.
I mean, that's just it. If that's the first thing that comes to your mind as an insult, you're a jag. Like, I'm sorry,
no,
that's that.
There's no talking your way out of that, because that was the word that came to your mind. So you don't talk your way out of, oops, I made a mistake. You fix yourself type thing. And he obviously doesn't fix himself in that episode.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think he has.
But I think there are parts of it that are a genuine discussion between friends. And you know, I want to say Seinfeld stops short of defending him, obviously, but...
Because he would.
Seinfeld's also a lot more...
he definitely would defend him.
He's it's not so much defense as it is... I don't know what word I'm looking for.
He'd be okay, maybe not defensive, but he'd be...
See, it's another word.
Like, he would be, it's not apologetic. He wouldn't be that. It's
at best, I think that episode, he very consciously gives Richards a platform, you know?
Right.
And
which I'm sure he did it to try and help his friend. But
sure,
that's
yeah. I mean, he doesn't include anything that sunk Richards more. Like, if Richards said anything
not.
That was like, "Dude, you screwed up again," like, that was not left in the show.
Right. But, you know, but it's that's why I have a hard time with that episode, because
right. sure, yeah,
Richards
no, yeah.
knows what it is. Seinfeld knows what it is. You're not going to get anything out of that you haven't heard before. And if you do, it's going to just be a rearrangement of stuff he has said. You know? And yeah, I think that it's... Maybe not apologetic, but he's buddies with him. He's friends. I'm going to let my friend slide on this thing. Because
definitely grain of salt. Yeah.
It was a one-time accident. He's never done anything like that in the past.
Well, I don't think they go that far. In fact, and I would disagree that I don't think it's rearranged. I think there is some genuineness in that exchange.
I'm not saying there's not. I just think that Richards is not going to give you the full story. He's not going to tell you the truth. He's going to tell you what you need to hear. And
also that
while
probably,
I'm sure
yeah.
there's genuine parts of it, you know... Michael Richards is an actor. He's a comedian, so he's a liar. Like, it's not a negative thing. It's that's what all actors are. Actors are liars.
Liars.
You know, it's like it's a thing that I really resonated with me with Penn Jillette. Penn's like, performers, magicians in particular, we're liars. We tell you no truth ever. And that extends to acting. You know, actors are liars, like, all the time.
You're being interrogated by a policeman. Like, it's legal for them to lie to you.
Exactly. And they are actors because they don't do anything useful.
All policemen are actors, but not all actors are policemen. But you do have to tell me if you are one. Pretty sure that's in there. And that's the short one. Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. What's yours?
The Good Place. Molly. We just started up season 3. Season 4 is coming, and that's the series finale. And getting into season 3, we busted through about 4 episodes, I think. That show surprises me every time.
I don't want to watch it so bad.
The first season did not see how that ended. And again, we talked about it. I was like, wow, that was the best ending for the show.
Yeah, I don't know if we did that on the show, but yeah, I fell off episodes in and you were like, you might want to hop back on. And I was like, okay. And then I had you spoil the ending for me and it did sell me. I'm like, okay. And it's been top of my list, even though I haven't watched it for some time.
So I didn't know, like, you can't do that show again. That does, like, the first season, you can't repeat that because it's just going to be boring.
Right.
But they turned it into something more. They changed it around and it was different. Well, and then season 3, again, they turned it on its head. Went in a direction, really? I did not see. And it's like it's great. It all works out. They're making this come together in such a way that I am happy that the fourth season is going to be the series finale, because this is something that it would be hard for them to keep going with. But so far, they are knocking this thing out of the park. And it is hilarious. Like, right. I cannot tell. And I fully have to admit that I am a Janet fanboy. She is my favorite part of the show throughout every season. She is easily the best character for me. She's the robot.
Darcy Carden. Carden, yeah.
She is delightful and she's adorable. But the other person who gets he gets an MVP because he's not on the show a ton, but every time he is, and he's a demon in the show, is Adam Scott. And
I didn't know he's in there at all. That's
he
cool.
Shows up a bit here in the third season in a perfect little role for him that fits.
I can see him playing a fantastic demon.
He has some stuff in the earlier seasons that's real top quality stuff.
Yeah. All right.
The show is so interesting to me because the characters that you wouldn't expect to grow and the way they grow is, like, so fascinating, because you do see some arcs just twist. And I'm really curious if those arcs are going to end up twisting back or what the deal is going to be, because there is so much here that the show can end on a really high note. It can end on a low note, but either way, however it ends, it can stick a landing in any way if it's written properly, which so far they have nailed every... To me, I haven't had an episode where I was like, that wasn't a good episode. They are all really good to me and really fun.
Has the final season aired yet?
Season 3 is on Netflix. 1, 2, and 3 are on Netflix. Season 4 has not premiered yet. I believe that's going to be fall with the rest of the new shows.
Gotcha, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's fine. But I would take me an entire season to watch 3 seasons. So that could work out just fine.
You could make it.
Well, maybe I can finish that before we do the next one of these and we can talk about it together. Because also this next thing, I don't know if you've done, so I might. Oh, sorry. I've reached my hands over the net to take the ball out of your hands. That's an illegal move, clearly. I don't know a lot about volleyball, but I feel like that's frowned upon.
I rolled it under the net to you.
Oh, okay. Then that's why I had.
Yeah, you're fine. Go ahead. Volleyed.
You see Stranger Things 3 yet?
No, but I have Stranger Things 2 on my list right now.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Wait. I thought you would watch that already.
Yes. Beth hasn't watched it, and I hadn't watched it for a while, so I wanted to watch that before going into season 3, because going from season 1 to 2 was not the jump that, like, I feel like season 2 to 3, like, I feel like season 2 to 3 are probably closer together, whereas it felt like a jump from season 1 to 2.
Where I mean, they're closer.
Like, I like season 1. I'm not saying anything bad about any of these. I just don't feel like I needed to rewatch season 1 to pick back up with season 2. And that is the case.
Season three, that might be more of the case, actually. Like, it definitely...
Going back to season one?
No, season two. Like, season three depends more upon season two. But there's two and three are both still kind of follow-ups. Obviously, I know that's a stupid thing to say, but shows more often than movies, I feel like, run into this kind of... People bring TV shows that they've labored over for an extended, sometimes their entire lives, or sometimes all of college. You know, they've had this baby. Like, this is their thing they've always wanted to do. They have it very fully formed when they bring it and sell it to people. Second seasons, third seasons, obviously they have to go back to the drawing board. So they end up being a little bit of a different animal.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is an appropriate way to put this for Stranger Things. Well, shoot. Yeah, why don't you do your Stranger Things 2 then? We'll move on to 3. I'm not going to say much because you haven't seen it yet and I don't want to spoil any of it, but it'll make more sense following up Stranger Things 2.
Cool. We're only a few episodes in.
Well then, forget it.
I'm trying to think of what the most recent, like we're maybe 3 or 4 in, I think.
Well, let's do this then. You've seen season 2 before.
Correct.
In fact, wait, did we do a show? We've talked about Stranger
We've
Things
talked
season
about
2
it,
before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe just a refresher. What, how did you like season 2?
Season 2 was great. I had my one kind of quibble. And it's, you know, I go back and forth on this and I'm kind of waiting to see on this rewatch how I feel about it again. I didn't love all of the 11 with the new people.
Yep.
I really, really hated the outfit they gave her. Like, I hated that. Like, that kid.
Yep.
I think that kid can wear lots of clothes and look totally fine. That whole slicked back hair thing. It was just. It's not good.
I like the idea. Obviously, she's out in the world. She's getting her education. I thought the execution of it, yes, I didn't.
Not great. Conceptually, yeah, totally like with it.
But executably.
Yeah, it was easily the lesser part of that season. The other part of the season that I go back and forth on, not a quibble so much as
I don't know...
if it's I don't know what it is, but Max and her brother, whose name is escaping me right now,
Billy.
I like the character of Max. I don't think that girl's particularly good, especially in comparison to some of the kids there. Like, she doesn't hold her own, especially against Finn and the kid with the teeth, those two. And I mean, and she has a few back and forth with, she doesn't have anything like the other two kids are fine. She doesn't hold her own well in a lot of scenes against them.
Disagree, but we can be friends.
She's fine. There's nothing wrong. Like, no, I know that always sounds like
Ugh. She pales in comparison.
It's
quite pale. She's red.
She is a ginger. And then the brother, like, that character was like,
boy,
I
got a surprise for you.
he's a good like nemesis for, man, what's his name, for Steve. That character is really hard for me to, I don't care that he's a bad guy. I don't care that he's a jerk. It's how he is a jerk. Like, it's something about the way that character kind of comes together and with Max that it doesn't mesh for me in Stranger Things. A character probably be perfect for other things. I understand why he works here, and he does work. It's just there's something, and maybe it's the actor. I just don't like him. I don't know. There's something about that character, but it's not the character, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain that character to me. He's just...
We're almost an hour into this, so we're going to need to not know how to explain some things from here on out. That's just what we're gonna...
I don't know. I like Stranger Things Season 2. I did not like the bit with Elle. But overall it works out well.
So it's funny that,
I will say that one more thing, just rules. One more thing that actually did bum me out about the season itself. And this is just again, stupid. I was really annoyed early on when you see the big, the mind flayer, essentially, and it was just smoke. It was like, did we just go to Lost World here at the beginning? I'm like, come on. Great. Okay, so Mike is now going to be the Man in Black, and Finn Wolfhard's character is going to be Jacob.
Well, okay. I've got some good news for you. I've got two bad news and a good news for you about season three.
I know the bad news is that Dinger Dork is still there.
Yes. The good news is that your smoke monster is made incarnate. So
thank goodness.
Won't spoil anything there for you. But yeah, the Billy and Max figure in pretty prominently.
Sure, and that's season three. I hope that that's fleshed out a bit more, maybe. Or
I think it is, and I liked it, but I liked everything in season two with them also. So I think you run into her because they added to the cast, so it's that thing where they brought in new people.
It's cousin Oliver. No,
it is,
but that's not like that's I'm fine with that. Like, I don't care.
No, yeah, I think it lands, and I think season three lands.
I think it landed. It's just, again, it's
no, I got you. We can't, like it, I said, we don't, there's been, no word. We can't explain
it. Could have been better, I guess, in terms sure. of certain things. That's all.
The other thing, actually, wait, I guess this is good news too. Good news isn't a bad news, is that season three also really kind of pretends like none of that life outside of the town happened for Elle, because, and maybe I'm just being too traditional, that sequence is normally a kind of coming of age, right? That's where she loses her innocence out there to some extent, right?
Right.
That's what that is. They kind of act like that didn't happen in season three. Like, Elle is very much back to not understanding people all that well. And her relationship with Mike has blossomed into a full-on boyfriend-girlfriend. So much of it is couched in those terms, and that, you know, she's doesn't understand how relationships work. But I felt like it was backpedaling a little bit, whereas she was supposed to have, you know, understood a lot more about humanity and herself through the other, you know, through those other kids even.
Yeah.
That it kind of seemed weird to go backwards in season three, but they made it work. They made the whole thing work. It's a shorter season that takes a little bit more time to get going. So much so that it kind of feels like a victory lap. Like, a lot of what people like about Stranger Things is, oh, it's the 80s and these kids, you know, it's really like those Spielberg films or whatever type thing, you know, it has that feel. I feel like they victory lapped that a bit. You know, they spend some time with the kids. You get maybe one little blurb for the first three episodes about the larger, you know, about the Mind Flayer or something like that, about what's going on there. But it's very little. Like, that doesn't pop off until four. And even then, it's very much weighted, like the final two or three episodes, pretty much everything happens.
You mean
and it's
season
quick
three.
And it freaking hits hard and it's good.
Love it.
Yeah.
No, I'm hoping that's a show and a series that I feel like I hope the Duffer brothers have an idea for how it ends. I don't want to see this show do the Lost thing, which, again, I like that show all the way through, but there is no way in hell I ever have believed that they knew how it ended outside of them being super pedantic and saying, we knew the last shot, which was...
That's what I was going to say. So they knew that his eye was going to... Was it open or closed in the last shot?
It's closed because it starts closed. With
they
him
They knew the
it.
Ending.
Right. It's totally that, like... pedantry, but you didn't know the ending, and like that's one where I hope they've got a solid ending in mind, and I hope that it, you know, maybe two more seasons, but man, don't keep this going for 6, 7, 8 seasons, because it is not going to hold up. It's just gonna die off.
I feel like we talk about this every TVBB, but I obviously do prefer those shows that are very much more
contained,
crafted pieces. Yeah, contained pieces, one or two seasons, they know what they're going to do, even if it takes them that long to execute it. Breaking Bad is maybe a small exception. Like, you can tell, and maybe it's just the talent of Vince Gilligan, but I feel like you could still tell he had an idea, and then when it blew up, there's a little bit of padding in there, even though when Vince Gilligan pads something, you're like, whoa, this is incredible type thing.
That was really good. Yeah.
So maybe, but yeah, Stranger Things is maybe a little bit more forever proofed than the normal thing. Because like I said, the first three episodes of this thing very much have that feel. Like nothing's really happening. It's kind of a, this is just some more Stranger Things.
Sure.
And if you like that, you like that. And they execute on it well enough here that I feel like maybe they have a longer shelf life than most shows. Like they could give me maybe a season or two beyond what they should, and it would be entertaining enough.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part, yes, it would be nice. I would say the way that season two and season three have played out so far, that there isn't a grander idea. Like it very much seems to me like those seasons are tacked on and created after the fact, after a very cohesive first season, you know.
Well, and I guess where I come back to it is, because I agree with you, I think that the first season was kind of a one-off that they weren't necessarily right. expecting to be mm-hmm. more. I guess I'm hoping that after they were like, okay, here you go, you have all the money in the world, that they went, okay, let's figure this out and not go season by season, because that doesn't make... It doesn't make a ton of sense for them to keep like fighting a big boss and then having to deal with the upside down and fighting a big boss and dealing with the upside. Like you can only do that so many times if you don't have
absolutely.
Like a really good through thread that isn't just, that isn't 11, you know, like there needs to be something else that I hope holds it together. And so far they're doing a great job. Like it all clicks. And I do think that this show does have a little more future proofing in it. And part of that, to me, does come from the decade that it takes place in, like
sure,
in, like literal future proofing in that that there are no cell phones, there's none of that stuff. It sets itself and it's something that already existed. You can go back and verify those things. So it like, to me, that there's a containment level there that keeps it going, you know, like Breaking Bad, to a point where like even that has some technology stuff in it. And it's always the question, right? Like, how do you make a movie that can last the test of time without resorting to like taking, like how do you make a movie where the answer isn't always you have a cell phone?
No, I think you're going to be happy with season three then, because it seems to me very much like they obviously had season one, pitched it, did a great job, came out great. They went back to them, were like, ooh, we need another season. They were like, okay. And they came out with a semi-contained season two. Season three very much plays like the beginning of a new trilogy type thing.
Okay, cool.
There's, in fact, it opens with, I was disappointed at first because I thought they were going back to the well with the whole like, oh, the upside down just got reopened. Now we have to close it again. I'm like, I don't want another season of that. Like that sucks if that's what they're thinking of doing. And they weren't. So that ended up well. But it ends with a total tearjerker one. Oh my gosh. But also a total cliffhanger. So they are not done with whatever they're doing, whatever they started with season three. So
good.
Yeah.
I look forward.
Yeah, as you should, to my volley, because now it's in your court side thing.
Okay. Well, this is my last one, and it's your favorite. It's mine. It's The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. Finale of finales.
That's true. Season five. I have finished the season. That was a good season, man. That's a solid season. There were definitely some bottle episodes that could have gone away. There was some slowness, but overall, that was actually a really good season, and I liked it.
Remind me, season five.
Yeah, season five. You get the end of Terminus,
okay.
which was great. You get the start of the Wolves comes up towards the end there.
Okay.
You get the death of Beth, the Beth death. In the hospital, which is, man, that like, I did not remember that. I knew she died, but I had not seen that episode and I did not remember it happening.
Oh,
but
Beth.
That was a great moment. That was just a fantastic moment.
Small blonde.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. She ends up in the hospital and Daryl's searching for her and everybody's looking for her.
And they find the black kid.
Yeah. Noah. They find
African American fellow.
Yeah, Noah's at Noah. The hospital, and Noah's the one that ends up basically finding Rick and getting them to come back. So that he gave them the information on how to find the hospital, and that episode is great because like throughout that season, the head cop that was kind of in charge of all of everything at the hospital, she is like already has a tenuous grasp on. Dealing with everybody, and everybody kind of sees that she is slowly losing the ability to control anything.
Vaguely remembering this.
Loved watching Noah get killed. That was a fantastic fantastic moment in terms of character deaths. He gets, I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember, no.
Caught in like a phone booth and he gets torn, he literally gets torn apart, like from his face gets torn off. And,
oh, okay.
And Glenn loses his stuff because he's watching it.
How do I
it.
Forget these things?
Yeah, at the end of that season, they've got Alexandria. They're dealing with, moving forward. And next season, of course, is going to be the stupidest and worst cliffhanger ever. But I don't have to watch the cliffhanger because I can watch the seventh season first episode immediately after, which I probably will.
Wait, so if I... what?
Season six.
Is this the season where Bo Staff is making his way back to Rick for the entire season?
Maybe. That's season six. I don't remember when Morgan shows back up because I did not watch most of season six. So season six is...
What are you on right now? We're talking about season five.
Yes. Season five is over.
It's got to be season six then.
Morgan's not in this show right now.
So that's season six.
Oh, wait. You know what? No. Morgan does show up in the last episode with one of the wolves.
Right.
Yeah.
As Rick has shot somebody in the head.
Yeah. No, it's right before that. But yes. Rick gets into the fight with the guy in Alexandria. Rick kills a lot of people, but he gets into
A lot of people.
He gets into a fight with the son at Alexandria and he kills him, or maybe it's not the son. I don't remember. He gets into a fight with somebody at Alexandria and kills them. And then I remember him looking around and he goes, "What?" Prior to that sequence, is we go to Morgan sitting in the woods and the first of the wolves shows up.
There is a season where Morgan, I feel like, spends the entire season trying to get back to Rick because he has this picture of Rick in his mind, you know, the Rick that we met in the first season of the show, who's, you know, hopeful or whatever and all that. So, and we've already seen Morgan kind of go crazy. Well, apparently I feel like he's using Rick as some sort of lifeline, traveling across the whatever to get to him, and then finally arrives at Rick kind of just as Rick is making the turn to, I mean, not exactly where Morgan was, but kind of in that direction. You know, he's making a turn and he does it
He
executes a guy in Alexandria.
Yeah,
it's right as Morgan walks up and reconnects with him, and it's just, and I'm pretty sure the season ends like that, and it was a fantastic moment. Like, I think that might be my favorite season, whatever season it is that
it
I
was fought. Yeah. No, you're thinking of season five. Season six is the one that ends on with Negan. Season six is Negan.
Possible.
Well, season six is the entirety of them building to Negan, who then does his stuff in, you know, we catch him at the very end of the season, and then 701 is Glenn and Abe.
Heaven help us if I ever start watching that show again. There will be no more TV volleyball. It'll be WDVB.
That's right.
Which doesn't even sound cool.
TWDVB. It was a good season, though. I'm actually looking forward to season six and catching up there and seeing what I missed out on. It has been good going back. You know, I kicked back off in season three, and you know, I'm looking forward to actually catching up to season nine. I think it's season nine that they're on now, and that we're going into season 10. Whichever one the Whispers show up in, I'm actually pretty excited to see how that goes down, because I know how it goes down in the books, and I know how it kind of goes down in the show, but I want to actually see it. And
sure. Your microphone just came off.
Well, we're just going to do it live now.
Now he's holding it like a stage performer.
They call me.
That's how we volley around here. Tell you what, you fix that. I'm going to rapid fire you. That was your last one, right?
Yes, that was. I'll never have anything else again.
Okay, I can't wait to see what this sounds like since the mic's not even pointed at your face when you said that. I will rapid fire my last three. Elementary. I watched the final season of Elementary.
Oh, man. Okay, did it end well? Was it at least satisfactory?
It's satisfactory. That show has always, always excelled at innovating in the procedural space. And I mean, we've talked about Law and Order a bazillion times and probably never on the TVVB, but I've watched every episode. That's love me a procedural, obviously.
Sure. They're fun.
But they're fun because they are the procedure is the thing. There's a reason they're called that. Law and Order was good because you got actors like Jerry Orbach who could bring something to a scene or to a sentence without even trying, it seems like, you know.
Look, Law and Order was garbage before Sam Waterston, and it was garbage after Sam Waterston. Let's just get that straight.
Yeah, another fantastic actor from that series. Elementary was still a procedural, which I think is smart, obviously, given the source material, too. But it, even more successfully than Law and Order ever did, was able to do more, both with an overarching narrative and characters and...
and Lucy Liu.
Relationships than any procedural I've seen. And maybe I even stopped qualifying it with procedural because there were numerous times where they would go in a direction. Like you could tell they were beginning on their left foot on purpose almost and then seeing if they could turn it around. And they did. They always did. Like there was a season where they backgrounded Joan Watson, Lucy Liu, who, why would you ever do that? You know? And Sherlock had a protege, Kitty.
I remember
so,
that.
Yeah. So like the first few episodes, I'm like, oh man, this sucks. Like I want to see some good, some Watson Sherlock stuff going on.
I think that was three.
Within however many episodes, I'm like, oh, this is, they did it. They brought out why she was there both to the show and for her character and turned it around. And she became an integral part of the show that, actually, that's not true. She showed back up at certain points. And I'm sorry. And why I come back to all this, your question, to answer your question, does it have a satisfactory ending? They made a big change at the end where they ended up in London. Like they were based out of London, solving crimes in London for a little bit, which sounds like an awesome direction for the show to go. I would have watched a whole other season on that. But then they do a time hop. So we are years freaking later. And Sherlock has faked his own death. I guess I'm spoiling a little bit here, but it's not really going to ruin it if you're into the show. And come back, and they use that as an excuse to revisit a lot of the themes, you know, and speak of past times and turn that into a conclusion. So I think it's smart and it works. And who knows how much I'm just disappointed that the show's over and how much I'm a little unhappy with the direction they decided to go. But that's the show. Like they've always turned that into something that I enjoyed watching in the end. So
it's too bad they didn't just put them in jail.
Yeah, they all end talking about the second button down from the top as the camera. It's an excellent show. If you've never watched Elementary, you should watch Elementary all the way to the end.
I agree.
Oh yeah, I forgot I'm rapid firing these. I also got my wife, finally, this has been an ongoing struggle, I got her to finally watch Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I'm behind on, I haven't watched since season two.
Me too. I think it's just this last season that came out. I was like, you know what? If I could get Candy to start watching these, we could just catch up on this season together because I've been watching them by myself so far. And finally got her to do it. Does your wife do this thing where because you're the one that recommended it, she's less likely to check it out?
I think yes, but I also think that's definitely the case in the other direction. I am the worst about that. And I've only recently started going, you know, I remember you telling me this was cool and I didn't believe you. And now I believe it.
She has her reasons. I did not push Breaking Bad on her because it was extremely intense and my wife's pretty sensitive to stuff like that. She experienced the show through me a little bit. I told her some of the story and we watched the final episode together. So I've been telling her that Better Call Saul is a lot tamer than Breaking Bad. Everything is, essentially. But I think she's been reluctant because of the ties to Breaking Bad. So I finally got her to watch it. And just real quick, we're only 1.1 seasons in. All credit to Vince Gilligan. I think we've given him some credit already in the show. That is like scratching the surface of what this thing does. Like how this show gets it's the trifecta, literally. Like you've got the writing, you've got the filmmaking.
Stellar. Stellar.
Just the camera movements, the framing to the just everything's great. Yes, sure. But then you get the performances out of Bob Odenkirk, Michael McKean, and the girl I didn't look up her name beforehand to say it, Rhea Seahorn, apparently.
Rhea Seahorn.
Rhea Sunshine is what she is. They are all so good. They are all just mind-blowingly good with that material. I've said before that show is better than Breaking Bad. I stand by that. It's also just one of the best shows it's ever been.
It is better than Breaking Bad. I mean, that's for me, and I didn't finish Breaking Bad. I admit that. We got to season three, and it kind of fell off, and that was one of those shows where I'm like, okay, if I'm going to watch that, I need to go back to the beginning to kind of pick everything up again. And, you know, that show was cool. I liked it. I need to finish
it. No,
yeah,
I admit
I have a lack of knowledge here. But from the first, if I'm comparing the first two seasons between the two, Better Call Saul just blows Breaking Bad out of the water. And that's saying a lot because Breaking Bad's first two seasons were very good.
Oh, Jonathan Banks too, freaking Urban Trout.
I can't not mention that guy's great. That guy is
They're all fun. So good, man. It's insane, that show. Just it is. There you go. News headline: the things you've heard are true.
Better Call Saul. Good.
That'll keep going. I'll end the entire show with this story. This is my 1, 2, 3. If you could survive this pummeling, then you deserve to win. I finally finished, after literal months, my second, because I watched WrestleMania with you when I was in Colorado. I finally finished Double or Nothing.
Hey!
AEW's Double or Nothing. I'm assuming there's been, like, how many specials since? How behind am I?
I think two, I think.
Probably like four more of these at least, right?
Minimum. No, I think there's only two.
Okay.
Because the show starts up on TNT October 9th, I think.
Oh, okay. And I get the feeling that I'll only be able to kind of slightly follow, and you'll help me with that, I'm sure. And then maybe watch these specials that take me months to watch.
They're always the best things to watch. You don't, you know.
All I want to do is share this story. So halfway through, because this thing is 4.5 hour long or something, halfway through, I'm like, why wouldn't my daughter like to watch this? So I turn it on right before, because I've been watching it kind of fight to fight, and they're all super entertaining. Like I barely remember WrestleMania at this point, and you were feeding me a lot of information there and getting me up to date. I can remember Kofi's name without somebody telling me at this point.
Sure.
And this is at the very least as entertaining as all of that, like the gymnastics, just the everything. I'm my education, my brain is, I'm like galaxy brain meme at wrestling at some point. I don't know. Is that how you use that? So I'm like, why wouldn't Evelyn like this? So I turn it on and I'm up to the fight that is the Rhodes brothers. No, is that right?
Yeah. Cody and Dustin.
Dusty Rhodes. That's right.
Dustin, not Dusty.
Dustin, I'm sorry. Dusty was his father?
Yeah, big difference.
Okay. Several years, in fact.
And also size-wise, literally a big difference.
And there's obviously history there. They are brothers. And they leaned into that, and it was great. About, you know, the first 5 to 10 minutes in, how long did this fight last? Maybe 20 minutes. My daughter is just constantly, is this real? And I wouldn't tell her. I'm like, does it look real? You know, these guys are doing flips and this, that, and the other. She's like, I guess. And then, you know, 2 minutes later, are they really hitting each other? I'm like, well, look at their chests. They're all red. You know, like they're getting hit. She's like, okay. You know, I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just kind of being like, look at this.
And then
I had no foreknowledge of this fight. Okay.
And then Dustin has an accident.
Dustin has an accident. I'm guessing he cut himself, as they do, right?
No, they actually, nobody blades anymore. Well, that's not true. People do blade.
I thought that was part of the thing of AEW, is they were like, I know generally speaking, that's a bygone thing or whatever, but
AEW isn't doing anything crazier than anybody else's. They're just doing more along the lines of letting the talent be the talent instead of...
I was
going
to say, I bet they leave it up to the guys, though. And
a little bit, yeah. And in this case, as is actually most cases at this point, it was not a blade. It was he got hit, and he just got hit in the right spot at the right
time. So that's confirmed? Well, whatever. We'll never know. Even if it wasn't, they would say, yeah. So in any event, Dustin Rhodes begins bleeding and does not stop.
Yeah, yeah.
For the entire rest of that match. And there are, he just gushing, literally gushing. Like he lifts his head up from the mat at one point, and it's it's a stream. It's not a drop. This isn't like a couple drops that they spread all over the place. This is a stream that they spread all over the place. Like,
and then you're so like, hey, is that look real?
Watching this, guess who didn't ask me if it was real for ever since? Oh man.
Did you show her after that though? Anything else?
No, yeah, we watched that. We've slowly been watching. I've watched the whole rest of it with her.
Okay, since, cool. So,
and it still has not asked again, ever again, if it was real. And she's getting into it now. Like she's like, "Who do you think will win, Dad?" And that whole match was supposedly building up to the Kenny Omega. Dang it,
Chris Jericho. I think.
Chris Jericho, thank you. Fight, which was good enough. And I get the feeling I'm not exactly seeing either of those guys at the top of their game, but
you. Kenny definitely is top tier still. Very,
actually,
very good.
You're right. Yeah. Kenny's a funny looking guy. Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Jericho usually has makeup on. He wears a stupid hat.
Oh, really? No, Jericho was just ponytail guy.
He's the one who won the championship.
He was. He was the one that won that match.
Yeah. Kenny is an incredible wrestler. And when he's with the right people, like if you go back and watch his NJ, like his New Japan stuff, like against Tanahashi, those two guys just kill each other. Like they have murdered each other more times than you can imagine.
It was still an amazing match. And again, I'm a rookie at all of this, but it was still fun to watch. I think maybe the Rhodes match was still my highlight of that show. Know what? I'm going too long on this already. What I came to appreciate with the Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho match that I hadn't yet, again, newbie here, is the improvisation that goes on.
Oh, sure.
You know, like I bet they obviously have a rough script, and the closest I got to maybe appreciating this before was how I compared this to kind of a third thing. You know, like there's acting, there's writing, and wrestling kind of occupies this third space that doesn't happen anywhere else. I came to maybe understand that a little bit more in that match and what they turned it into. So still entertaining. I'm still enjoying my, you know, whatever, 20 minutes of viewing every other day.
You know what? A match a day keeps the doctor away.
That's what it was. And that's what it is. Sound Butt Club for Movies again, everybody. Thanks for hanging out for another Television Volleyball. Tune in next week where... I'm about to pass out, so tell you what, we'll figure out what we're going to watch next week, and we'll let you know. We're coming up hot on the heels on another possible Octoberween to the sequel. So who knows if we start that early. I know Matt would like to.
Yes.
But you can find us a podcast at bookclubformovies.com. Let us know what you thought about anything we've talked about so far, and we'll bring it into the show. And it'll be fantastic.
We'll figure it out next week.